How's everybody doing tonight?
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
All right. And so now we go back to Galatians. Because you're going to see, I have a new love and appreciation for a portion of Scripture. Because I believe today, like I've never believed before, that this portion of Scripture is the gospel. And I believe a lot of Paul's philosophies and doctrine and theology, right, came from this portion of Scripture. And I would encourage you guys after tonight to go back and stay with and spend some time with and dive into Isaiah chapter 53. You are going to see so much about the glorious gospel of Christ, righteousness through faith in him, how it was through his work, his effort, his toil, that the Father was pleased. The Father was pleased. His work, his effort, his toil, not ours. And by faith in Jesus Christ, God's righteous servant, faith in him has justified the many. The gospel is in. I'm getting chills. Is it cold in here?
No.
And I'm getting chills. This gospel. I love the gospel of grace. I love the gospel of Christ. And you're going to see this. So Paul, he starts out with Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Wow. Oh, foolish Galatians. If you look at that word foolish, it's not a very becoming word. He's like saying, "You ignorant Galatians. You uninformed Galatians. You uneducated Galatians." Can you imagine that? If you're a pastor and you speak to your congregation like that, they ain't gonna come anymore. You know, but this is what Paul. I guess because he wants to drive home a point to them. Who bewitched you? Who bewitched you? Galatians. Have you completely lost your common sense? This is what he's saying. Have you lost your common sense? You see, now you have to ask yourself the question, what caused them to lose their common sense? And what in Paul's thinking and in Paul's mind was common sense? Common sense. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's common sense. Okay? Common sense. You lost your common sense. You're reverting back to the law for righteousness. This is amazing. Galatians, who? Have you completely lost your common sense? Can't you see how the law bewitched you? You've been bewitched. You've been blurred in your vision. The revelations of what the cross of Christ has accomplished in you and for you has been distorted. This was so clearly predicted in Scripture. How can you not be persuaded by the truth? Now, this is where we're going to have to take a little journey, because this is all part of this chapter, this teaching. Isaiah chapter 53. Okay? Here's the gospel. This is kind of what was in the messaging that Paul brought to them. Paul brought to them this messaging. All through Jesus Christ. All through faith in Jesus Christ. And I never realized how very beautiful, you know, this was. Hey guys, Jesus Christ. You don't have to grieve anymore. Because he bore your griefs. He bore our griefs. Our griefs were put on him. And that word griefs, okay, it means, what does it mean? It means sicknesses. Sicknesses. He bore our sicknesses. He bore your sickness. He was made sick with your sickness. Wasn't his sickness. Right? Here's the gospel. This is what happened to him. This is what God did to him. God put upon him our sorrows. He carried them. He carried them with him on the cross. And that word sorrows, okay, it means afflictions, pains, any afflictions we have in life, any pains we have in life, any sorrow we have in life, God put them on Jesus. He carried them. This is what the gospel was. You have no more afflictions. You should have no more grief. You should have no more pain. Why? Because God put it on Jesus. This is the gospel. He's reminding them, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, right? He was wounded for us. He was wounded for our transgressions by the Father. And what does that mean? That means, right, our transgressions, our rebellion, our sins, right? For us, this is the gospel. We don't have to pay for our sins anymore. Galatians, oh, you foolish Galatians, who'll be with you? You don't have to pay for your own sins anymore. You don't have to work at pleasing God anymore. You don't have to work at earning his approval anymore, right? He bore our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That word bruised means he was crumbled. He was beat to pieces. He was broken in pieces. He was crushed. He was destroyed. Now, can you imagine? Paul is saying, God put this all upon Jesus. It was all yours. It was all taken from you and put on Jesus and given to Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And when you look later on in Isaiah chapter 53, you go to verse 10, it said, it pleased the Lord to do this to Jesus, to bruise him, to put him to grief, right? To chastise him, you know, for our peace. Why? It pleased the Father to make him an offering for sin. Why? Because he would see him. He would see his seed. He would see Jesus. He would see him in his right. I get excited. I'm sorry. I'm teaching, but I'm preaching. He would see him in his holiness, in his righteousness, in his sanctification, and in his innocence. And because he put all these things on him, and he who knew no sin became sin, right? He who knew no sin became sin. Well, now the Father would look upon his travail, verse 11. He would look upon his work, his effort, his work, his effort, his toiling, and the Father would be satisfied. The Father is satisfied. There is nothing we have to do to satisfy the Father other than say, thank you for your offering. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. And the scriptures make it perfectly clear, right? That with the heart we believe unto righteousness. So when you believe that the Father raised Jesus from the dead, that's your believing that you are righteous. Oh my goodness, that is amazing. It's all about what he did, not about what you have to do. It's all about what he did. We are fully qualified. We are fully qualified for every promise, for every blessing, because of what Jesus Christ did. This is what Isaiah 53 teaches. This is what the Apostle Paul teaches. This is what he brought to the remembrance of Timothy. This is what he's now bringing to their remembrance in chapter 3 of Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This is why I pointed you to Isaiah 53. Jesus Christ crucified among before you, right? So now he's pointing them to Isaiah chapter 53. This is what God provided for us through the sacrifice and offering of his Son. Isaiah chapter 53 is the complete gospel. It's the gospel. God is satisfied. He was satisfied by the work, effort, and toiling of Jesus Christ. Here we go. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Spirit of God? Did you receive the blessing of his Spirit? Did you believe? Did you receive the blessing of his power, right? From adhering to the law, right? Or by just the hearing of faith? Hearing of what faith? Hearing about the Christ. Hearing about the Christ. Hearing the gospel message about Jesus Christ. Please, would you reason with me on this one issue? On what basis did you receive the Holy Spirit? Why are you laughing? Why are you smiling?
It's good.
It's good? Okay. Are you talking gift or are you talking reward? It's a gift. Now you see, when you know Paul's thinking, Ephesians, for by grace are we saved by faith, it's a gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Would you reason with me on this one issue? On what basis did you receive the Holy Spirit? Are we talking gift or are we talking reward? What kind of message ignites faith? What a condemned sinner and failure you are as revealed in the law, or what God believes to be true about you as revealed in the gospel. Let's not confuse law with grace. Verse 3, this is amazing. Are you so foolish? Wow. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, having begun in grace, having begun in Christ, right? Are you so foolish? There's that word foolish again, right? Are you that ignorant? Are you that ignorant? That you started out free in the Spirit and you know, in grace, in Christ, in freedom, in liberty. Remember, in chapter 5, he's going to say, after everything he's been teaching now, in chapter 5, verse 1, he's going to say, therefore, stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Okay? So here, are you begun in the Spirit? Are you now believing that you're going to be made perfect by the flesh, by the keeping of the law? By the keeping of the law, Paul says in his other writings, the law can make nobody righteous, can make nobody justified, okay? The law cannot do that. Can you see how stupid it would be to start in the Spirit and then for some crazy reason to switch modes back to the do-it-yourself system of the law? As if your own work could add to anything. You know, add anything to what God has already done in Christ? Oh my gosh, come on. Is that not awesome? Wow. Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? You see, there was suffering. See, maybe that's why they allowed themselves to be bewitched, okay? Because they were in a situation where they were experiencing persecution. Okay, pressure from the circumcision. Remember, we established in chapters 1 and 2 that there are two gospels. There was the gospel of circumcision. Okay, yes, you can believe in Jesus Christ, but you must remain zealous for the law of Moses. That was a gospel that was coming from the heads at Jerusalem, from James. Okay, and so everywhere Paul went, he met that opposition. We talked about that when we read through chapters 1 and 2. You know, that's why Paul went to Jerusalem to have it out with the leadership there. That's why he says in chapter 2, he approached Peter to his face, put his finger in his nose and said, how dare you? You strayed from the truth of the gospel. You strayed from the truth of the gospel. Why? Because he was afraid of James. It says it right there in black and white, you know, in chapter 2. All right? So perhaps the same persecution he was facing, you know, they were facing. And you know how sometimes it's easier to just surrender? And so maybe that's what they did. They surrendered. Said, okay, listen, we'll adhere to the law. We'll follow the law again. Hey, yeah, we'll follow the festivals. Yeah, we'll... we'll look at the different, you know, the moons and whatever, you know, and ceremonial laws. Okay, we'll adhere to that. And they allowed themselves to, from an ignorant position, right, to become bewitched. So now number 5, this is beautiful. He therefore, all right, who's the he? God, Holy Spirit, right? He therefore that ministers to you, in the Spirit, and works miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law? Does he do it from adhering to the do-it-yourself system of the law, where you do and then God does? That's what the law was. You do first, then God does, right? So therefore, he that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? By the hearing of faith. By the hearing of faith. Would you accredit what you have received from God to something you did or something you've heard? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God, or about the words about the Christ. So when you hear about Christ, when you hear about the gospel of Christ, Paul's already established that it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. And then you receive by faith God's righteousness, God's approval, all the blessings, all the promises in Christ, yes and amen, all from the faith that comes by the hearing, not by works, never by works. But I have a message for you. I have news for you. Once you become born again, right, it all changes. Does it? It never changes. It's always by grace through faith, and it's always a gift. Lest any man should boast. It's never a work. This is why we uphold to, if you are listening to messages that tell you, you need to, you must, you have to, all right, you have an obligation to, that's not the gospel of grace. Those are additions. And we have talked about the fact that, you know, when I was a young boy, my mom, I remember taking baths, taking showers. She used to buy ivory soap. Why did I say Snope? Ivory soap. And it always, I don't see it anymore on television. I don't think it's popular. I don't know. And it used to float. Remember it used to float? Mm-hmm. And it used to say ivory soap, 99.99% pure. What was the 0.01%? I don't know. But anyway, the gospel is not 99.99% pure. It's 100% pure. We can't add to it, nor should we add to it, nor should we allow anybody to add to it like the Galatian church who were bewitched, who started out in grace, who started out in the Spirit, but then reverted back to the do-it-yourself system. Now, you know, that leads me to something that I wanted to talk about. Do you know that that's up to you? To live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, or to be led by the flesh. Now, when Paul uses the word Spirit, it's equal to the word grace. When he uses the word flesh, it's equal to the word law. Those words are interchangeable. We cover that in chapter 1. And so it's up to you. You're the one that decides whether or not you're going to live in Christ, being led by Christ, right? Christ doing the work. Christ, you know, energizing. Christ doing it. This is what Paul said in chapter 2 when he ended chapter 2, verse 20. I was crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. I don't live anymore, but it's Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh suit, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. So now, who bewitched you? Now, you started out living in that way, but now you're living in the other way, the do-it-yourself way, the do-it-yourself system, where you think you can add to Christ's work, you can add to the Father's sacrifice, you can add to the Father's offering, that you, with your own efforts, can make yourself righteous. That you can make yourself qualified before him. This is what Paul is saying here. So now, I want you to understand why we have this power. why it's up to us. And the best, well, I don't know if it's the best, okay? But an example that I came up with is a car, all right? Me and Lori are in our car, and we are driving, okay? And Lori's driving, and I'm in the passenger seat. I'm the passenger. And the car that we're in represents our body. And tell me if this makes sense. The car is your body, is our body. The car is your body. The car is your body. Picture the car being your body. Now, when Lori drives, right, it's her soul recognizing the fact that she has died in Christ, and now she's raised the newness of life with him. Christ is doing the living, so that in her soul, right, she's living from that dimension, and so it's Christ doing the driving. But now here I am sitting next to her. I'm the other part of her soul, the other part of her mind, right, that thinks I can add to it, that thinks, you know, I have what it takes to please God, that thinks it's through my effort or whatever. And now I take the wheel. And now I am controlling the car. I am controlling the vehicle, right? Same person. We're the same person, okay? We're the same person. But now my choice, my soul, my mind, my thinking, I'm the one that's in charge of this body. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But now what we want to do is trade seats, right? And put our renewed mind, governed by the Spirit, behind that wheel, which drives our body. And that's what Paul is kind of saying. That's what Paul is meaning. You know, I was crucified with Christ, and now it's no longer I who live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's in him, Acts chapter 17, verse 28, where I live and move and have my being. You see, the car represents Paul's body. But now, who's behind the steering wheel is in his soul that is believing in the uniting with Christ, and that Christ is living through him, and Christ is breathing and moving and doing the work. The part of him that used to think it's up to me, the part of him that was entrapped in the do-it-yourself system, the flesh, whatever, is in the passenger seat. It's tamed. It's under control of the Spirit. Now, you can switch positions at any time you want and drive your own body. You can have your body driven by the truth, by the Spirit, by being in Christ, or you can have your body driven, right, by your own will, emotions, senses, tasting, smelling, seeing, hearing. We need to make sure Spirit is the one that's driving the body. I don't know. Did that make any kind of sense? No?
No, it didn't.
It did make some sense? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you can, you know, get an idea of what I was trying to, you know, the Spirit and just your mind, will, and emotions, right, are both in that same car. And you determine who's going to sit behind the wheel. Whether it's you, you're in control. It's up to you. You need to do. You have to do. You have obligations. Or it's Christ. And Christ is everything. And Christ does everything. And it's his power. And it's his Spirit. And it's his leading. And it's his guiding. We have control of our bodies. We have control who sits behind that steering wheel. And this is what Paul is teaching here. And then in verse 7, it says this: Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, they're the same are the children of Abraham. So now, I used to wonder, how could Jesus heal so many people when he walked the earth? Because wasn't God a covenant-keeping God? Weren't they under the covenant of law? So the covenant of law says, if you do this, then I will do that. And the covenant of law says, if you don't do that, if you don't do this, then I will bring upon these curses. And so I've heard many speakers and many teachers speak to the fact of the matter that there was so much sickness in the nation of Israel at the time of Christ, so much sickness, and the main reason was because they were out of covenant, because they had broken covenant. So if they had broken covenant and they weren't adhering to the covenant, and God says, my covenant I will not break, nor will I alter the words that comes forth from my mouth, how can Jesus heal people who were not living in covenant or who were breaking covenant? You never ask yourself that question. Did you ever ask yourself that question? Do you ask yourself that question? Because right now, Pastor Lori and I were talking about this morning. This afternoon. She comes and sits by me, and all of a sudden she hits me with this question. Is God obligated to bless us? Is he obligated? Is he obligated to heal? Is he obligated? Well, by covenant, he is. He made a covenant with Jesus. That's why Jesus on the cross said, finished. I've done what you have put before me to do, Father. Now I'm finished. Into your hands do I commit my spirit. The rest is up to you. And we know that the Father accepted all that Jesus had done because on the third day he rose from the dead. But now he forged an unbreakable covenant between him and the Son. It's faultless and flawless because it's not dependent upon man. All we have to do is put faith in Jesus Christ. So if you put faith in Jesus Christ and you have by faith entered into that covenant, yes, God is obligated. Because he's obligated by covenant. So you know, when you're praying, okay, this is why they were foolish. What Paul was teaching them that was theirs by covenant and by the Spirit, they were now turning it around and making it again about themselves and about what they had to do. All right? But now, here's this portion of Scripture. And it says, and you know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So why was Jesus able to heal as many people as he did if they were under covenant, the covenant of law? Come on, you went to Bible college. How about you guys out there? You haven't gone to Bible college. I'm going to tell you why. Because the law, Paul's going to talk about this later on in this very book. I'm just giving you a little head start. Paul talks about how the law, given how many years later, never nullified the promise that he made to Abraham. And what was that? That by faith, you believe and you're blessed. So the law never nullified the Abrahamic covenant that was forged by faith. So whoever approached God, approached Jesus in faith and by faith, that allowed Jesus to heal them, because the law never nullified the promise. This is why, if you remember the accounting, and I wish I looked it up and I had it for you, but I think you'll know what I'm talking about. This is why there was an accounting of a woman who was severely hunched, right? They think she had a spinal problem. Maybe it was ultra scoliosis or whatever. Jesus said to the religious leaders of the day, of that time, he said, ought not the daughter of who? Who did he say?
Abraham.
Ought not the daughter of Abraham be healed? Mm-hmm. Ah. The law never nullified the promise. And the true children of Abraham, that's you and I, are the ones that respond in faith, by faith. And that just irked. Is that the word, irked? The Pharisees? Because what did they always say? We follow Moses. We follow Moses. We're descendants of Moses. We follow Moses. But you see, once you stepped out of that covenant of law and entered into the promise of Abraham, you realize that the law never nullified the promise. And as they came to Jesus in faith, he was able to heal them. See, because I wondered for such a long time, God, if you're a covenant-keeping God, how did you heal everybody that were so out of covenant? Because they were hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing about the Christ. And once faith came, faith rose up. They came to Christ because of the faith. The promise was not nullified by the covenant of the law. Jesus was free to heal them. And here's the lesson that we're learning from this. Go back to verse 2. And it says, this only what I've learned of you. Have you received the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh, by the do-it-yourself system, by adhering to the law? Verse 5, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That should cause us to ask a question. It's a difficult question. Is my blessing not being seen because in ways that I know or ways that I'm not even aware of, because of what I've listened to, because of what my mind has become programmed to? Is it because I'm adhering to the do-it-yourself system, law, where it's up to me, where it's all about me, where it's about what I have to do or what I need to do, or what I'm obligated to do? So Paul's saying, who bewitched you? You have to get rid of that mentality. You have to get rid of that mindset. You have to get rid of that thinking and understanding. It's not about what you do or you did. It's about faith in Jesus Christ and what he did. This is what Paul is saying here. And so I just want to leave you. It's kind of short, but there's so much more coming up, and I don't want to go further. We'll go further next week. This is enough. You think this is enough to just listen to? And okay. We have to really read Galatians and understand what was being said and why it was being said. And then we have to understand what relevance does it have for us and to us. Could he speak to us? Hey, Lenny and Lori, come on, man. Who pulled the wool over your eyes? Who pulled the wool over your face? Who cast a spell over you? Who bewitched you? That when you first got born again, you knew, man, it was all about God. It was all about Jesus. You were so excited. You were so amazed. Healing was coming through like popcorn. It seemed like every prayer you prayed, God was answering, right? And then what happened? You got educated by religion. And you were taught, you were told and that, you know, now you have to begin your walk of sanctification, of being sanctified. You have to begin your walk now of becoming righteous, of living righteously, you know? And so now what happened? I remember what happened to me. You know, well, I don't know about you. You were born in it, so it never happened to you. It was all part of you. But I know what happened with me. I started my walk trying and trying and trying and trying and trying and failing and failing and failing because I couldn't do, I couldn't do, I couldn't do. That's why God came to replace the law. It had a flaw. Me, I couldn't keep it. Then all of a sudden I became free. It's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's not about what I did. It's about what Christ did. And now I put my faith in Him. And I believe I'm one with Him. And I'm united with Him. And as He is, so am I in this world. As He is righteous, so am I. As He is holy, so am I. As He is justified, so am I. As He is sanctified, so am I. You know, and sooner or later, I got to the point where I really believed that. And now you can't move me off of that. And I'm praying for the same for you, too, for that to happen. All right? So, Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the message of our glorious gospel of grace. Father, how it was all about Your sacrifice and Your offering, not about what we need to do or what we have to do. You gave us a flawless and faultless covenant. And the only thing that keeps it flawless and faultless is our knowing and believing we don't have to add to it. We don't have to make additions. Thank You, Jesus, for the freedom You've given us. Thank You, Jesus, for the miraculous You've placed inside each and every one of us. We just give You praise, all honor, and glory. We thank You for Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Honey, does anybody have any questions?